Morning. I realised this morning that I was inappropriately dressed with no pockets or anything to put a microphone on. So I've gone all Pentecostal. Sorry. It's probably inappropriate, isn't it? I'll shush now. I think I made a bit of a mistake in when I gave you the reading, because that is not the reading I was expecting to hear. It's always good to read scripture, though. And if I was clever, which I'm not, I would stand here and I would tell you all about the reading that you just heard. But I'm not going to. I'm going to read you, hello, the reading that I wanted. And I'll tell you for why. Because the reading that we've got this morning is a reading that we were in a prayer meeting on Monday, and this reading came to me. And somebody else in the prayer meeting, when I shared it, said, oh, yeah, I had that on my heart as well. And then I was thinking about what to say this morning, and I couldn't really decide. So I thought, oh, I know, I'll look at the readings that are actually set for today. And that was the reading that was set for today. And so I thought, all right, maybe that's what. So the reading I want to use this morning is Romans chapter 15, verse 4-13. I should have told you to keep your Bibles open, shouldn't I? Because it's just next door. It says this. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth, you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray together? Father God, we do thank you that you have brought each one of us here this morning. We thank you that we have the privilege to worship you openly without fear. Father, we ask that you would come by your Holy Spirit now. Would you fill each one of us? Would you give us hearts to hear your voice as we seek to be closer disciples of you? Would you speak to each one of us this morning? Amen. I'm going to slurp. All right. I was talking to a funeral director friend of mine. Not a local one, before you all start trying to work out which one it was. Not a local one. And I'd been to my uncle's funeral. And my uncle had a humanist funeral. And he says to me, he says, oh, Liz, he said, how did the funeral go? I said, oh, mate. I said, it was terrible. I said, it was really, really bad. I just didn't like it. It was horrible. And he says to me, he says, oh, do you know, I don't like humanist funerals either. He says, if ever I have a family who are umming and ahhing and they don't know what to do, he says, I always tell them, why don't you have a vicar? I said, that's lovely. I said, that keeps my kids in shoes. He laughed and he says, no. He says, that's not what I mean, Liz. He says, it's not about you. He says, because he says this. He says, what he says? He says, the thing about you lot, he says, is your lot have got a bit of hope about them. He says, and I like that. And I don't know if I'd come in this morning and asked you what you thought the theme of the book of Romans was. I wonder what you would have told me. The book of Romans is not the easiest book of the Bible to read by any stretch of the imagination. But I think that one of the themes of the book of Romans is hope. Hope is threaded through the whole book. To pick out just a couple of bits, in chapter 4, Paul reminds us of Abraham. He holds Abraham up as a model of faith, as a reminder that God is always faithful to his promises, as he was in giving him and Sarah a son. In chapter 5, Paul tells us, rejoice in the glory of God, reminding us that that suffering does not dash our hopes. Suffering actually builds hope. Then again, a bit later on in Romans 8, Paul encourages us to hope for things that we cannot see. And in Romans 9, Paul is lamenting Israel's fate. And in his lament, he comes a whole 360 round and he begins to talk about the hope of the salvation of Israel. And in today's reading from chapter 50, it's a veritable sandwich of hope, where hope is the bread. It starts with this. It says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And it finishes with a familiar blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as a general rule, as Christians, we're pretty good at talking about hope, aren't we? Are we? Really? Do you think? We are. Well, we're very good at talking about the hope of eternal life, especially on those occasions when we open the doors to our churches where lots of people who don't normally come to church come. The hatches, the matches, and the dispatches. At funerals, we talk and we pray about the hope of an eternal life spent with Christ. At weddings, when people come, the couple come and they get married, and we pray a blessing on their marriage that it would be lifelong, and then when they come to the end of their life, they would find the joy and the hope of heaven in eternity. At our baptisms, we declare our faith in God and our salvation through Jesus and our hope in an eternal life spent with him. Do you ever get the feeling that we're wishing our life away? Now, there is nothing wrong in the hope of an eternal life. I'm totally signed up to that, just putting that out there. But when we talk about just the hope of eternal life, it makes me want to scream, what about today? What about the here and now? And because you see, I think there are loads of people out there who have got what about questions. The people who just want to scream, what about the person who has got cancer? What about that family who have suffered unimaginable tragedy? What about, what about all the terrible things that happen in our world? What about me? What about my situation in the here and the now? Because I think of my outburst, I think Paul would be quite sympathetic to my outburst. He is prone to the odd outburst of his own. I think it's in Romans 8. I'm sorry if I've got it wrong. But I think it's in Romans 8. But Paul is, he's praising God. And he interrupts himself in his own praise to cry out, what about the Jews? You see, it's all right to have those what about questions. And what do we do with that? Do you know we can offer those questions when people come and they say, what about my situation? We can answer all those questions by talking about hope. Because we can tell them of a God who doesn't cause suffering. We can tell them about a God who is with us in our suffering. We can tell them about a time and give them hope in the fact that there will, God is coming again and he'll bring justice and restoration, and there's the hope of eternal life. But for many people who come saying, what about? That answer doesn't really quite cut it. I think they see it for what it is. And if we're honest, it's a little bit of a cop-out. Because people aren't coming looking for what about the hope in the future over there somewhere. Again, important though that is. How do we offer them hope in the here and the now? Because I think Paul is talking about the here and the now. Paul's hope for us. What are Paul's hopes for us? Paul's hope for us is that with one voice we would glorify God in the here and the now. Paul's hope for us is that we might follow Jesus' example of servanthood in the here and the now. His hope for us is that we would have our hope would be set on God. Yes, in the future, but also in the here and the now. And Paul's hope for us in verse 13 is that by the Spirit we might overflow with hope. I mean, what a wonderful image is that. I don't really, can't really get my head around the image that we've got so much hope. It's just overflowing. It's just falling out of us. There's hope everywhere. It's all over the floor, just waiting for people to trip up into it. Where's the risk assessment for all the hope being everywhere? But there's hope everywhere. Paul has got all this hope. And I don't know, what does that much hope look like? What does overflowing hope look like? It looks like inspirational, I think. I think it's truly inspirational. I'm going to probably going to show my age a little bit here now. No, you're all old enough. Do you remember the story of the Chilean miners? Ah, oh, Phil remembers, so therefore, that's my barometer. About 10 years or so ago now, 33 Chilean miners were trapped underground in a mine. And they were trapped for 60 some odd days. And they were rescued, every single last one of them. Now, when this all happened, Kai and I lived in community with other people. And on the day that the rescue started, we were glued to the telly. Okay? Just imagine, this whole bunch of us just sat round. And the first miner comes out. And genuinely, there was excitement and cheering. And then you had to wait. And then the next miner came out. And they came out one by one. And if you had to go out to the kitchen or something, you'd have to come back and go, is another one out? Are they coming? Because the hope that they might all be rescued after the 60-odd days of waiting, the hope that they could be rescued and all alive was just tangible. Do you know what happened after those miners came out? Several of those miners gave their life to Christ because they had seen the tangible hope in the here and now. They came out to discover that people all over the world had been fasting and praying for them. There was one of the miners inside, and I can't remember his name, I'm sorry, had been leading small church services and praying and fasting and talking about the hope for the here and the now and the today to those miners. And they found hope in the face of despair. And it's a faith that brought them to Christ. Excuse me. So how do we get that kind of hope? That kind of hope that is inspirational? Well, thankfully, Paul tells us. Paul tells us that hopeful people are rooted in Scripture. Because Scripture reminds us of the faithfulness of God. Scripture reminds us of the promises that God makes to us. Scripture reminds us that God always makes good on his promises. My kids, many of you will have met them, but my kids run on their stomachs. Doesn't matter what we do, they're always looking for their next feed. And whenever we do something a bit different, whenever we go out somewhere or anything like that, they always say, but what will we eat? When will we eat next? And so I have to say to them, look, guys, have I ever not fed you before? There is always a worrying silence at this point. But after the worrying silence, they come to the conclusion that no, I have never not fed them before. And they say no. And I say, well, don't worry about it, because I'm not about to start now. And yeah, that's right, isn't it? Move on. And anywho, scripture is God's conversation with us like that. When we go to God and we're worried and we're this, that and t'other, God says to us, have I ever left you? Have I ever broken my promise to you before? Have I ever lied to you before? And God shows us scripture and he says, no, see, I haven't. And I'm not about to start now. Hope is rooted in scripture and in prayer. If we want to be hopeful people, we have to be rooted in scripture and we have to be people who are prepared to call out to God in any situation. We have to be people who know, not just in our heads, not even just in our hearts, but kind of deep in our souls, in our very beings, that God keeps his promises, that God is faithful to us. And then we have to be people who, like Paul, pray that hope over our own life. And then we pray it over the lives of other people as well. And you know, you'd think with all this hope flying about, we'd be full and happy and joyful people, wouldn't you? Hopeful people are generally joyful. Except they're not. Not all the time. If we want to be genuinely hopeful people who live our lives with integrity, and it's a story for another day, but I think integrity is the best tool we have for mission other than the gospel. If we want to live our lives with integrity, we can't be happy all the time. Life doesn't work like that. You see, we can have hope. We can have hope in God. But we still all have our own earthly hopes and desires, don't we? And we all have our times when our earthly hopes and our desires are squashed, are taken away. And I don't know about you, but when my earthly hopes are dashed, I don't want happy, smiley people around me. I want people who will scream and shout and lament with me. Having a hope in Jesus doesn't take away our earthly hopes. And when our earthly hopes aren't realised, then we need people who won't just stick on the happy, hopeful, joyful smile. We need people who will lament with us. And I think the church, actually, it's one of the things that the church has forgotten how to do. It's one of the things that we don't do well, I don't think. And we'll come back to lament on another day, I promise. Just to say that sometimes when people come in and they're hopeless, they need us to meet them in that place. We have to get out of this idea that somehow we're so focused on telling people how wonderful Jesus is and how amazing having a relationship with him is, and it makes our life better than it could ever be. Again, all true. But sometimes we do it at the expense of telling people it's okay not to be that joyful. We were at Stable Trail all this week, and on Friday, the place was full of children. And you can imagine the excitement that it was filled with, the excitement and the happy faces as kids are waking up to Christmas. And a lady came through the door. And it's a lady that, by her own admission, doesn't really come to church, comes to church maybe, you know, Christmas time, that kind of thing. And she just felt drawn to come into the building on Friday. And she was just about to leave, as thankfully somebody saw her. And it wasn't me, but thankfully somebody saw her, because she had felt drawn to come to church because all her hopes had been dashed. She didn't feel happy. She came in, she saw the happy, smiley faces, and she thought, I don't fit here. And she went to leave. And yet somebody saw her and they drew her in and she shared with them how her hopes had been dashed. And they were able to pray together and to cry together and to find hope in that despair and those tears. Hope in the fact that, especially at this time of year, in this imperfect world, in the centre of it, is this tiny little perfect baby. She came in and she didn't find hope in the joyful, happy, smiley faces. She found hope in the tears and the lament that her earthly hopes had been dashed. And that is a true hope. It's a hope that is found in the rawness and the vulnerability of being in that place. And that is a true hope. That is a hope we can hold on to. That is a hope, as Paul puts it, a hope that does not disappoint. And it's a real hope. It's a hope that means that we can put our trust in God for anything and for everything. It's a hope not just for something to come in the future, something that's over there. It's a hope for the here and the now and the today, wherever we're at. Sometimes hope comes from the horridness of life. We come out the other side having that hope, something that we can truly believe in, something that we can choose for ourselves. As the late, great Christopher Reeve once said, once you choose hope, anything is possible. And I think it's really important for us as we come towards Christmas. As this Christmas time comes, we are going to have so many people coming through our doors that don't normally come to church. So many people who are going to come and see the happiness and all the rest of it. But you know, for many people, Christmas is one of the most unhappy times of the year. Relationship and family difficulties and breakdowns are more difficult at Christmas. People who are lonely or grief-stricken, it is more difficult and more painful at Christmas. If you've got financial difficulties, it's more difficult at Christmas. Christmas is the most stressful time of the year, or one of the most stressful times of the year, unless you're planning on getting married or moving house. And on that basis, of all the people that are coming in the door at Christmas, there is a real chance that a decent chunk of them, even if they've got a smile on their face, inside are feeling something that is totally the opposite. And when those people come in, they need to find people who are overflowing with hope. They need to find people who will rejoice and be joyful with them. But they need to also find people who are overflowing in the kind of hope which means they will talk to them, they will listen to them, they will scream and shout or cry with them if that's what they need, that they will go in search of that true hope, that they might find it. Because as you know, God meets us where we're at. I pray that they'll find us as people who overflow with hope for today, in the here and now, and wherever they happen to be at in that moment. Advent is the season of hope. And I pray that we would be people who are overflowing with hope. I pray that as people come in and they sing the carols that they've always sung and they hear the story that they've always heard, I pray also that they will meet people who will talk to them, who will listen to them, who will help them find real hope, who will be with them wherever they are at. Because if we can do that, if we can overflow with hope like that, my prayer is that when they then leave this church, they will say to one another, do you know what's different about that lot? They've got a bit of hope about them, and I like that. Because do you know what? I think, and for my money, for so many people, that is where their journey to their own hope in Christ begins. Amen.